So today we're going to look at the Easter story, and we're going to look at how what the people believed at the time affected their emotions, whether they were angry or happy or disgusted or sad at the Easter story.
Our reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 11, from verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there said, 'What are you doing, untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
So the video helps us to see that today is Palm Sunday, that day where we remember what we read and what we've seen, that Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey and the people shouted, "Hosanna! This is our King! This is our Saviour!" If we have the emotions brought back up, and we'll have a look at that, all sorts of emotions were going on. If we click on, there was obviously lots of joy going on in the celebrations. They were waving the branches. I've seen some people with branches today. They were throwing their coats. They were shouting, "Jesus, our King!" They were celebrating. There's some branches. Excellent. But there's one emotion, which was a strange one that I want to pick out. If we click on, actually, it's this one over here. That's disgust. And actually, as we read the passage, as we watched that video, we see that one emotion that came out was disgust, particularly from the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and those who led the people in religion at the time. They were disgusted. They hated what was going on. When Jesus was coming, everyone was celebrating. They said, "Tell them to stop." And Jesus said, "No. They know who I am. They're celebrating. If they didn't cheer, the rocks would cheer." You see, Jesus was saying he was God. That's the thing they hated about him. That he was God. And actually some of the things he did and the evidences he did backed that up, that he was God. And they hated that fact. They were disgusted with what Jesus had said. And they hated him. And they plotted to kill him. You see, the question at Easter that we're going to ask again, and I'll challenge you with, is not, did Jesus exist? Because, well, everyone accepts Jesus exists. You can look in the history books and Jesus is there. But the question, the thing that disgusted the Pharisees, is, do you believe what Jesus said about himself? Jesus said, "I am God. I am the promised King, the Messiah." Some of the people celebrated that and believed it to be true, whilst others were disgusted and hated the fact and thought Jesus should die for saying so. Our question is not, do we think Jesus was alive? Because that was true. But actually, do we believe what Jesus said about himself? He said, "I am God. I've come," Jesus promised. "I'm the promised King, the promised Saviour, the promised Messiah." And that's what they hated him for.
Please sit down. We're going to find out what happened next. And again, that's from Mark 15, and we're starting at verse 21 and going through to 37, the crucifixion of Jesus. "A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last.
The account of Good Friday and Jesus dying in the Bible. If we call our emotion sheet up again, so many emotions going on at the crucifixion of Jesus. First, when the guards came away, let's click on, when they came to the garden to arrest Jesus, Peter plucked up a bit of courage to start and chopped one of their ears off. But after that, it was a time filled with fear up there. The disciples, they all fled. Some watched at a distance. Some went as far as they could. Some even said, Peter himself said, "We didn't even know who Jesus was." They denied him. For others, we saw in that reading there, that the cross was a time of celebration. For those enemies of Jesus, the cross was a time where they said, "We've won." They shouted those taunts at the bottom. "He's the Messiah. Let him save himself. He healed all these others. Let him heal himself." There was an air of mocking, but an air of celebration and joy in what they saw as a victory for themselves. That they'd taken the threat of Jesus. They'd put him on the cross. He was going to die, and that was the end. But if we click on the overriding feeling, the overriding emotion at the cross was sadness. To see Jesus, who'd never done anything wrong, to be treated in such a horrific way, to be dragged through the streets, for him to be beaten and bleeding, for him to be put and hung up on a cross and to die. It's a sad time. His mum was there. It was an awful time, and a time filled with sadness. But you know, the number one question I get asked by boys and girls, and I've been asked it by my own son this week, is why on earth do we call it Good Friday if all that happened? If it's a day filled with sadness and the emotion is bad, why do we call it Good Friday? Let's have a look over here. We've just sang a song which said to Jesus he was totally God, totally man. This white handkerchief here, this reminds me of Jesus. Because the Bible tells me that Jesus was pure and perfect and he never did anything wrong in any way. He was clean, like my white handkerchief there. And the song says he was totally God. In every way we remember Christmas, God came down to us as Jesus and he lived a perfect life after that. And my white handkerchief reminds me of God, of Jesus himself. Yeah, my red handkerchief here reminds me of a little verse in the Bible which tells me that the bad things I do, my sin is like scarlet. It's like red. Jesus is clean. The Bible says, though our sins are red like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, but our sins are red. The bad things we do, because we know we're not perfect. I often think we don't get told much about Jesus in those early years. How he stayed perfect there was amazing. I know I didn't in my early years. But Jesus did, and as he grew up, all the things I face and the bad things I do every day, and I get upset at myself for doing, Jesus never did any of those. He was perfect in every way, but I wasn't. So the red reminds me of people. It reminds me of me. It reminds me of the sin I've done. But you see, when Jesus was on the cross, when Jesus was dying on the cross, he hadn't done anything wrong. He was perfect and pure in every way. But actually, he was there because God put him there. And God gave his son. And Jesus on the cross, the Bible tells us, he was smitten. He was smited. He was hurt. He was beaten. But the Bible says that was for me and for you, for the bad things we've done. You see, when Jesus was down on the cross, he was... Just in case you thought I was cheating. He took on my sin upon himself. Though he was pure and perfect in every way, he took on my sin on the cross. So when Jesus was dying on the cross, he took all those bad things of mine. And that's what the Bible tells me. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that even though I do bad things and I'm far from God, that actually Jesus took them on himself. Even though he was perfect and pure and clean in every way, he took my sin upon himself and he died to take my punishment. So that when God sees me, he doesn't see my sin. He sees what Jesus has done for me and he sees my sin taken care of on the cross. So why is it called Good Friday? Well, it's awfully sad. And the pictures are horrific and it's awful every time we think about what Jesus suffered and went through. But actually it's a good day. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, because he died in my place, that means I can say sorry to him. I can be forgiven and I can be in a right relationship, a friendship with God again. Because Jesus was totally God and totally man. He was able to take those bad things upon himself and take them and die and take my punishment. That's why it's good. Even though it's sad. And we could have put a joy up there because it's a time of celebration.
This reading is from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
Thank you, John. So the final bit of our story is what we'll be remembering next Sunday here as we celebrate Easter Sunday. And if we get the emotions back up, here we go. I suppose for those enemies, those who were celebrating at the cross, when they came to the tomb and it was empty, I suppose there was fear. Fear for those guards if they'd get in trouble. There was sadness that those who thought they'd won, they hadn't. But for most, if we click on, Easter Sunday is a time of joy and celebration. You see, when Jesus died, there were two others on the cross, three altogether. There they are. There was Jesus, well, he was in the middle. And there were two other criminals with him. And they all died, all on the cross. And back then their bodies would have been put in a tomb which looked a bit like that. All the bodies in the tomb. Just you don't think I've hidden them there. Not there. All the bodies in the tomb. Because you see, the thing is, if you'd gone to one of their tombs the day after he'd been buried, you would have still seen his body there. If you'd gone to the tomb of the other one weeks, months, years later, you still would have seen his body there. But you know of Jesus, the story tells us that the ladies went to the tomb. They went down. I don't know how they thought they were going to move the stone, but they went down to put perfume on the body because the body had smelt just a few days later after Jesus had died. But when they got there, the tomb was open and the body wasn't there. There's nothing left in this tomb, apart from that little bit. But that little bit is what the angel said. An angel met them there and he said, Jesus, he is not here. He's not here. Where do you think the Red Cross has gone? Where do you think, Jack, where's he gone? He's not here. Yeah, it's not on the other side. He is risen. He is not here. He's risen. And just to prove it, they had a look inside and he wasn't there either. He is not here. He has risen. He has come back to life. And we see that Mary saw her Saviour in the garden. She went, she told Peter and John, one of my favourite passages at Easter, where they had a race. John beat Peter back, but they came to the tomb and they saw that Jesus wasn't there. And he appeared to them. He appeared to over 400 people and they were happy and they celebrated the risen Saviour, their King, who they'd been cheering for all those days earlier and thought he'd failed. But actually he'd succeeded in a way they'd never believed would be possible, that Jesus came back to life and proved he was God, proved he was the Saviour, and proved he could be trusted. And that relationship with that, between us and God would be firm, could be true in the evidence of Jesus coming back to life, the resurrection. And we'll finish where we started. Our emotions are up there. And then we started by saying, what you believe affects your emotions. See, if you think snooker's a brilliant sport, you're quite happy to sit in a room and watch it for 8 hours. If you think chocolate is a real treat, you're going to love it. Whereas if you don't like chocolate, then you're going to be sad. See, what you believe affects your emotions. And that is true for each of us as we come to celebrate this Easter period. Do we believe Jesus Christ is who he said he was? Is he God? Did he die on the cross for our sins so that we could be right with God? And did he come back to life? Because if he did, and if you believe that, then this is a time of celebration. It is a time of joy. If you're a Christian here this morning, if you've done that, if you've said, yes, I believe Jesus is who he said he was, I'm trusting in him, I've said sorry for the wrong things I've done, and I'm following him, I'm a Christian, then this is our celebration time. Easter is the time, it's our party season. It's the time where we come together and we celebrate and we thank God for what he's done for us and we celebrate our Saviour. If you're not sure, if you haven't believed yet, then Easter, you know, Easter's lovely, it's a holiday, there's chicks and ducks and eggs. But actually, what does any of it mean? What is your emotion at Easter? Perhaps you're thinking, why not think this Easter? Actually, do I believe the claims of Jesus Christ? Do I believe it's who he said he is? And then do I need to respond in that way to say sorry for what I've done and come and say, I'm going to follow you and trust you as Saviour, as Lord, and as God. I accept your claims and I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And perhaps this Easter then will be the most joyful Easter for yourselves from here on in. I'm going to pray and then we'll sing together to close. Dear God, we thank you for Easter. We thank you we've been able to look at the text in the Bible and we've been able to watch films. We've been able to see what you tell us at Easter, of how you came into Jerusalem, how you died on the cross, and how you rose again. Lord, I pray for all those who know you. I pray that this will be a time of celebration. You'd excite us again to celebrate you this Easter. And for those who don't, I pray you continue to reveal yourself so they too would know you and be able to celebrate this Easter. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.